So today I thought we would do chapter 150 of Tehillim, which is the last chapter of Tehillim that there is. And it was also Rabbi Nachman's top 10. And there, I just learned this term, like if you say there's tea, it means like there's a rumor. Have people heard of such lashon? It means like there's gossip that they discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls a 151st chapter of Tehillim, which would mean that what we had conventionally thought for thousands of years was the last chapter of Tehillim is rather the second to last chapter of Tehillim.
Wow.
Yeah. But in the end, it was deemed to be pseudepigrapha, which means that it's a fake work. It was deemed to be apocrypha. So apocrypha is, Chazal calls it Sefer HaChitzayinim, which means hidden or secret works. And these were certain works that weren't canonized into our conventional Tanakh. There are two types of apocrypha. So one is works that are antithetical to the Torah. They're antithetical to Jewish scripture. They contradict things. So, for example, there's a book called The Story of Susanna. I've never read it. I wouldn't waste my time with Apocrypha. But it makes up Jewish law. It is totally made up. So it wasn't included in Tanakh. It wouldn't make sense to. It's made up. So somebody could ask, what about the book of Yechezkel? In the book of Yechezkel, you see a lot of contradictions with Jewish law. Specifically when it comes to Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, it literally makes things up. So how come Yechezkel is in Tanakh when the story of Suzanne isn't? So there was a Tana named Hananya ben Chizkiah. He's one of the great Jewish scholars. And they praise him. They say that he will be remembered for the good. Why? Because he took several hundred jugs of oil. He locked himself in an attic. And he used that oil for food. And he used that oil for candle lighting. And what he did in that attic while he was by himself was he tried to reconcile all the differences between Yechezkel and the actual halachas in the Torah, and he came to some way to reconcile it, and that's why Yechezkel is included in the canon, and that's why Yechezkel is deemed conventional. But other books like Book of Story of Susanna, not deemed conventional. So that's one type of apocrypha, wasn't included in Tanakh. Then you have another type of apocrypha, which has historically valuable information, but because it wasn't divinely inspired, right? We know that Nevi'im and Chesuvim were divinely inspired. They're either prophecy or prophetically inspired. But these books weren't. So because of that, we don't know about the divine authenticity of the source. There's no assurance to the accuracy of its divine content. And therefore, it's not included within the Tanakh. And these are the type of things that are deemed not sacred. So, you know, you could read them in the bathroom. You could read them on Tisha B'Av. They could be historical sources, whatever it is. So Tehillim 151 was deemed to be one of these. It's nothing. So I read through it. I felt a little bit like icky doing it. I felt a little bit dirty because it's just so not Tehillim. It's pseudepigraphic. Like we think it's somebody pretending to be David HaMelech, but it's not. And it's about David HaMelech beating Goliath and like how great Hashem is for it, but it's totally made up. So 150 is the last parak of Tehillim. And it's very neat that chapter 150 is the last parak of Tehillim because it's oh so fitting. It really sums up the entire book of Tehillim in the last chapter. It ends off on a bang. When you look at the lyrics of chapter 150, which we'll get into in a minute, it's stylized in this way where it shows this grand conclusion of the entire book of Tehillim. It gathers many of the themes that you see throughout Tehillim, specifically about Tehillim and its name, its moniker, which is to praise, Tehillot, praise, Hallel. And it very much praises Hashem. Every verse, every bar in Tehillim 150 starts off with the word Hallelu, which comes from the language of Hallel, to praise. And it shows that the ultimate purpose of creation is to Hallel, is to praise Hashem, how everything ends in praise of Hashem, including the book of praise. It shows like the grandeur of all things, how every fiber of our being, how everything that exists by its very nature, ipso facto, praises Hashem. So we'll start off. We can get into it. You'll go to chapter 150 of Tehillim. I'm going to open up in my Tanakh. By the way, this is the best Tanakh I know of. It's called the Mir Tanakh. My screen's like blurry. But it's the smallest Tanakh I know that has like the words of the Tanakh. But it also has Rashi. And it has Mitzudas Dov and Mitzudas Tzion for Nevi'im and Chesuvim. It has some maps of biblical Israel at the end. So I find this to be the best Tanakh I have. I always like try to get more of these. Like I have like a few of these just because I love them so much. But yeah, chapter 150 of Tehillim. You could read along or you could just follow me either way. But if you want to know more about the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's a lot of literature on it. But there's a religious man named Professor Lawrence Schiffman. So he's an Orthodox Jew. I saw him at Shul one time. I saw him like learning Zohar the entire davening with like a pocket-sized Zohar. So he's a very firm guy, and he's very involved in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is great because a lot of times you have scholars. Yeah, he's at NYU, exactly. Yeah, a lot of times you have scholars that they're superimposing their like very anti-religious agenda on the text, and he's a religious guy, and he really makes it work. So I very much appreciate his works. But yeah, okay, Tehillim 150. I'm there. So Tehillim 150 starts off, Halleluka, Hallelukel Bekacho, Hallelu Birkia Uzo. So, Halleluka, praise Hashem, and we're going to praise him, Bekacho, we're going to praise him in his sanctuary, Id Est Ashol, a synagogue, and we're going to praise him, Birkia Uzo. We're going to praise him in his stronghold, somewhere up above in the sky. So these represent two opposite extremes of recognizing Hashem's existence. Some people recognize Hashem Bekacho in the Shul, down below on planet Earth. And some people recognize him way high up above in the skies, in his stronghold, in his great place in the heavens, like the angels. And those are the two types of relationships, the two types of recognitions you can have with Hashem, down below or up above. Maimonides Amar Nevuchim says that we live in a crazy world. We live in a world of darkness. Can't see anything. There's a verse in Tehillim elsewhere that says, Lo yadu v'lo yavinu. We don't know. We don't understand. B'chashecha yisalechu. We walk in complete darkness. That's where the world's at. We don't see anything. We're blind. But then Rambam says that there are some people, and this is what Nevuah is, and this is what it means to have a relationship with Hashem. You see like these little lightning bolts. They flash onto a rock or a pebble, and then you see little sparks of light. And Rambam says, the greater you are, the more you connect with Hashem, whether that's through tefillah, through davening, through mitzvahs, whatever it is, it could be Ben Adam L'Chavero, whatever it is, the more you connect with Hashem, the more light you see. Up until Moshe Rabbeinu, who was referred to as Karen Or, that his light, his face was radiant because it was reflecting the light of Hashem. Meaning, you could either just live in darkness, you know, just be totally devoid of any mitzvahs, any Torah, not live a Torah life, or the more Torah you know, the more Torah you learn, the more you daven, the more light you see. And there's varying gradations of light, in accordance with somebody's knowledge and their intellect and their capability or their graspability. So it's like to the degrees that we open our eyes to the reality of Hashem is the degree that we see Hashem in the world. Like one time somebody was kept complaining to Rabbi Shlomo Karbach. They said like, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God, whatever. And Shlomo Karbach said, okay, if you don't believe in God, live in your godless reality. Like, okay, like if you want to live in that world, that's why anybody heard of the book called Sapiens? Sorry, I really don't like it. I really, really, it's like one of the most popular books ever. A lot of Jews like reading it for some reason. But like he lives in this like very miserable world where we are the product of blind evolutionary processes that are totally randomized. And it's like, okay, you could have like a very negative existence, but like Nebuch, I feel so bad for you. He happens to be Israeli, but he, I don't want to make this a rip session, but he says like, I was born in Israel the same way somebody in Beijing was born in Beijing. It means nothing to me. I just happened to be here. So, okay, if you want to live a meaningless existence, then live a meaningless existence. But like, oy, that's so sad. The Chazon Ish, it was noted, he had a very sensitive soul. He would look at a flower and start crying. This was noted about the Chazon Ish. Because he saw the beauty of the flower. So, you know, one person looks at a flower, they just see like, ah, I don't care. It's just something in nature. Other person, like, they have such a strong sensitivity of the soul. The Chazon Ish had a book, Emunah Bitachon. It's a book about faith in Hashem. And he says, like, Emunah hi netiyah daka me'od. Like, Emunah is like this very thin, precise, beautiful thing. And, like, he was just living in a reality of beauty, a light reality. So you could live in darkness. Ksil b'choshech holech. The fool lives in darkness. Or you could live in light. I choose to live in light and see Hashem. So you could see. So this Tehillim is saying, this verse is saying, wherever you're at, you could praise Hashem. You know, you could live in darkness, you could praise Hashem. You could live in brightness, you could praise Hashem. But everybody has the capacity or capability to praise Hashem from whatever degree they want to. Rambam actually writes in the introduction to Mor Nevuchim, he says, somebody kept mailing him letters. They were trying to understand a lot of Torah. And they were trying to understand how to reconcile with a lot of Aristotelian philosophy. And Rambam says, you know, I got nervous. Ulai chukoso gedol mehazagasai. Perhaps your desire to know is greater than your ability to understand. And then he said, but I got to know you a little bit better, and it seems that you're actually capable. But we want to continue to open up, like it's like harche picha v'amaleu, open up your mouth and I will fill it. We want to keep opening our vessels, expand ourselves, expand our mind, expand our hearts, so that we could allow Hashem more into our life, more and more and more and more. So that's one verse. Before moving on to the second verse, I'll share one more thing. It's a beautiful piece in the Zohar, and then we'll get into the second verse, which is that the verse in Mishle that we say in Eish Hayil says, Noda b'sharim b'ayla, that her husband is known to her by the gates. So the Zohar says, don't read it b'sharim, like in the gates. Read it b'sharim, which means by his measure, meaning Hashem makes himself known according to each and every person's measure of understanding and capacity to attach themselves to Hashem. So we just have to expand our measure, expand our capacity, expand our gate. Okay, now we'll go to verse number two. So in verse number one, we explained the context through which we praise Hashem. We praise Him in a shul, we praise Him up above, but we praise Hashem. But the question is, what do we praise Hashem about and why? Hashem needs us to praise Him like he has low self-esteem and He needs us to butter Him up. Like, why does He need this? So that's what verse two is about. So verse 2 is, Halu bigvorosav, halu kirov gudloi. Praise Hashem for His mighty acts, and praise Him for His exceeding greatness. There's a great rav in Israel named Rabbi Shlomo Aviner. He's a chardal rabbi. Chardal means mustard, but it also stands for charedi datu lu'umi. They're like black hat rabbis, very charedi, and they're Zionist. Very interesting people. It's a whole movement. They're very like, they're students of Rav Kook, a lot of them. So Rabbi Shlomo Aviner runs a yeshiva in the Arab quarter, and he has written like over 100 books or something like that. He's amazing. He's fantastic. He's also very cute. He has like a very high-pitched voice. He's very ecstatic. I've met him a few times. But he says, what's the difference between Gevura and Gedula? Because here we're saying praise Hashem according to His acts, His mighty acts, and His exceeding greatness. What's the difference between Gevura and Gedula? He says Gevura is might. Gedula is greatness. So Gedula is like a person has these great big dreams. They have great ideas. You know, say like small people talk about people. Medium, average people talk about places, and great people talk about ideas. So some people, they have greatness to them. They have these good ideas, but they don't know how to pull through with it. You can have a lot of gevura, but you feel inhibited. I don't know how to pull through with all these great grandeur ideas that I have. Like there's a verse in Tehillim, Hechrashti Dumya, I'm dumbfound silent, meaning that I have the ability, I'm just not able to actually capitalize on it, or I have the dream, I just don't know how to fulfill it. And then there is the gevura, which is the might. That is the ability to pull through. So Hashem has big ideas and He pulls through. You see this in the story of the creation of the world, where Hashem says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, God says, let there be light. Next verse, or in the same verse, Vayehi Or, there's Or. So we are praising Hashem that not only is Hashem like this great master, planner, but also He has the ability to pull through which He plans on creating. So that's what we're praising Hashem for there. Hashem like pulls through 10 out of 10 of the time. He pulls through for the clutch. Gimel, halu b'seik ha-shofar, halu b'nevel v'chinur. Okay, we are going to praise Hashem with the sound of the shofar. We are going to praise Him with the navel and the chinur, which are like harps or stuff like that. So there's a beautiful idea by Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, and people know Adin Steinsaltz? I realize I don't think he gets enough credit because he wrote commentary. First of all, it's not just like he wrote commentary on like all of Tanakh and the entire Gemara. Then he also wrote commentary on Mishnah Torah by the Rambam. And then he wrote like all these books on Kabbalah and Hasidus. It's like, I don't know how he had the time to do these things. But and he was like a scientist. Like, and he was about Tshuva. Like, he started a little bit later in life. So we don't give him enough credit for the amount that he's written. It's not normal. But
it's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think there's a famous letter that I'm pretty sure it's him that he sent a letter to the Rebbe and said, I'm doing this project, part of the projects you listed. He said, I don't have enough time. I can't do all of this. Which one should I not do? And the Rebbe said, not only should you continue all the projects, you should add another one.
I love that. Yeah, they say about Rabbi Avadia Yosef, when he was like a few years old, he decided every single sefer he wanted to write and what the name of the sefer was. He wrote it down. And then at the end of his life, you could see the list from when he was little. He wrote every single one of those sfarim and more. It was like some people were like, so like their mind was added. So the Rebbe was able to tell Shtan, like, you know, your mind is capable of more. Like, yeah, you don't just have that gedula. That those dreams have that gevura, have the capacity, have the ability to pull through, come through for the clutch. So yeah. So Steinzel says on these verses, of halu b'seik ha-shofar, halu b'nevel v'chinur, that this is what tefillah is, where like first you just blow and like nothing really comes out, but then over time you start to blow and a lot comes out. That's how it is to blow a shofar. You don't know how to blow it, nothing comes out. You start blowing it a lot, you're very good at it. You can do it very loud and about. So that's what it comes when it comes. That's what it is when it comes to praising Hashem. That like first it could be hard. You could barely get a sound out, but over time you're going to get very good at it. So it's just something that you have to work on. also, Steindl says elsewhere, the converse, which is that, like, really, these are, like, these very loud instruments, but they also have the capacity to make these very high notes and to be very quiet. So sometimes, like, you're not really sure where to start. You got to be loud and about. You got to be into it. And then over time, you'll be more silent about it, meaning you'll have to exert less strenuous stress. Over time, you'll get used to it, and things will come easy, and you can just simply blow the shofar, blow the trumpet, blow the sax, whatever it is. Okay, then we go to the next verse, which is Halleluhu besof u'machol, Halleluhu beminim ve'ugav. So we talk about, I know the context of which I praise Hashem. I know why and what I praise Hashem for. How do I praise Hashem? I don't know how to do it. So how do I praise Hashem? There's a lot of ways you could do it. You could do it through the sof, the timbrel, which is a type of drum, or a machol, through dancing, or others say it's also a type of drum, through the minim and the ugav, which are like flutes or pipes or stuff like that. So the Al-Sheikh, who is a commentator from Tzvas, he says that the first two instruments listed are like thumpy things. They're things that they make like a, you know, a bass sound. They make a noise, but it's more about reverberations. It doesn't have too much reverberation. It's more of, you make the thump and that's it. It's stomping, it's banging, it's clapping, etc. And then the later instruments are the lutes or the pipes, which reverberate. They have crazy echoes. There are airwaves going on there. So first, we start to praise Hashem a little bit, these thumps, these very basic things. But then over time, we start to praise Hashem a lot, meaning that first it's a thump, it's nothing. Then it's these like elongated sounds, which go a long way. So it's kind of like the verse says, Azar melokai be'odi. It's another verse in Tehillim toward the very end, also in Pesukei Dezimra, that I will praise Hashem a little bit, furthermore. And Rabbi Nachman says, be'odi is from the language of ode. Like, meaning you praise Hashem a little bit. Praise Hashem, you know, 1 minute today. And the next day you'll praise Hashem for 2 minutes. So you praise Hashem a little bit. You start saying Baruch Hashem once a day. And over time, you start to develop this comfortability with the vocabulary of praising Hashem. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. Like, you're having trouble getting through the whole davening. Okay, don't go through the whole davening. Get up to Baruch Sha'amar and don't finish the rest. I don't care. Just get up to Baruch Sha'amar. That's it. You're done for the day. No Shemona Esrei. But then Rabbi Nachman says, once you get to Baruch Sha'amar, I want you to go till Ashrei. But that's it. I swear, you're done after Ashrei. You're good to go. Then you get to Ashrei, and Rabbi Nachman says, okay, actually get the Yishtabach, and you see where it goes. Because it's Azam Rol Kabe Odi. It's very hard when you look at the big picture to like get through the entire davening. It's a long davening. Okay, so don't think about the big picture. Praise Hashem a little bit. Praise Hashem Besofu Machol with the drum. And then you'll work your way up, and eventually you'll be doing these more elongated types of instruments. So that's that verse. Good, okay. Halelu B'tziltzalei Shama, Halelule B'tziltzalei Shrua. Praise Hashem with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with these loud, crashing cymbals. So there are two types of cymbals listed here. This is also, by the way, an ideal by Rabbi Steinsaltz. He says, you have these resounding cymbals, and these are small cymbals. Like small cymbals that you could harmonize with. They accompany other things. And then you have these loud, crashing cymbals. So you could praise Hashem softly, quietly. You could praise Him loudly. Like, there's a verse in Melachim. There's a Gemara. I forget where the Gemara is. If anybody knows of it, you'll let me know. But it says that, like, there are certain times where, like, there's such a loud cry on earth. Let's say, in the case of a divorce, the divine heavens cry so loudly that you can't even hear a cry because it's so loud. So it's like this idea that, like, you could scream so loud that it's too loud to even be heard. It's inaudible. It's the inaudible, imperceptible noise behind the noise that we make. And also, there's a verse in Melachim that says, like first there was a great fire, but it was not in the great fire that Hashem existed. Then there was a great wind. It was not in the great wind that Hashem existed. Then there was a great loud noise, a ra'ash gadol. It was not in that, but it was in the kol d'mam adaka. God was found within, like, the silent, high voice. So Steindl is saying here that you could find Hashem quietly, you could find Hashem within the comfort of your own home, just by yourself. You have that personal relationship with Hashem. But then also in that louder context, in that more public context, also there Hashem is. You pray. So which one's better? They're just different. You praise Hashem either way. You praise Hashem loudly, you praise Him softly, but as long as we're praising Hashem, thanking Him for all that exists. And also, like, what's the point of this? Like, does Hashem need our praise? Hashem is, like, so egotistical, so arrogant, narcissistic, he needs it. No, but, like, it's more for us. Like, in as much as we allow Hashem into our lives, in as much as we praise Hashem, our lives will be better. That's what, like, the Kutzker Rebbe said. Like, where is Hashem? Where can I find Him? Wherever you let Him in. So, like, a person like Tzadik b'Emunah Asa Yechiyah, that's a verse in Chavakuk, that a Tzadik lives within his Emunah. He lives in his faith and knowledge of Hashem. I want to be one of those Tzadikim, or at least strive to be one of those Tzadikim, that sees Hashem in my life. You could not see Hashem in your life, but then, oy nebach, you missed out on a lot. K'sil b'shachos sheicholech, the fool walks in darkness. Okay, then we get into the final verse of Tehillim, and the final verse of the chapter, the final verse of the entire book of Tehillim, which is Kol Anishama Tehalel Ka Haleluka. This is the grand conclusion of all Tehillim, that let all souls praise Hashem. All souls praise Hashem. And there's a medrash on this, which says, don't read it Neshama, soul, read it Neshima. Neshima means breath. Let all that breathes, let all that has breath praise Hashem. Because every breath we take, every step we make, every cake you bake, if you bake a cake, everything attests to the greatness of Hashem. Everything that exists culminates in praising Hashem for His gedula, for His gevura, for everything. Every breath, every single movement on earth is a praise to Hashem. By very virtue of its being, ipso facto, its nature praises Hashem. Like Rav Kook says that the soul is always praying. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, the soul is always in a constant praising of Hashem. And like when we're davening or when we're thinking about it, we're just tapping into that praise. It's kind of like there's a radio and you got to tap into the frequency. So let's say you're davening and you don't have kavana. You don't have to feel bad because like really like somewhere deep down, there is kavana there and you just have to do a better job tapping into it. It's kind of like one of the goals of meditation is that you want to get in touch with your conscious with your subconscious. So how do you do it? You focus on breathing. Why? Because breathing is subconscious. You're doing it all the time and you don't even realize it. So when you consciously become aware of the fact that you're breathing, then you are linking your conscious mind with your subconsciousness. And that's what tefillah is. You are linking your conscious mind, you are linking your moach with your lev, with your heart, which is always praising Hashem. And it's just connecting the two together. Now the question is, like, if praising Hashem comes from the heart, if it's subconscious, if it's inherent to my being, then I have this canonized sitter. Why do I have it? Why do I need it? Why do I need to be davening this thing that Chazal imposed on me? So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, you're right. In fact, if you could have proper intent, you could daven in any language you want. You could do it in French, you could do it in Russian, Arabic, whatever, sign language, I don't care. Do it in whatever language you want. But if you're not going to have good intent, and Mishnah Berurah says it's very hard to have good intent, Hebrew possesses a segula. Inherent to the Hebrew language is a certain cosmic efficacy, a certain precision of language in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's why you're better off doing it in Hebrew if you're not going to have, like, perfect kavana. Like the Chasam Sofer points out that when Chazal, when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted Shemona Esrei, they did it in Hebrew, but was Hebrew what everyone was speaking at that time period? No, they were speaking Aramaic. So why did they do it in Hebrew? Why didn't they do it in Aramaic? Everybody spoke Aramaic at the time. Because that's not what it's about. It's about a certain inherent precision of language that you find in Lashon HaKodesh, a certain cosmic spiritual efficacy that you find in the Hebrew language. And that's why it's best to say it in that. There's a song called Ochila Lakel. It's based on Yom Kippur liturgy. People in this show don't know it because I did it once, maybe even twice for my Kiddusha tune during a Shachar's. And nobody sang along with it. So I assume people don't know it. Or maybe I did it too high. I don't know. But it's a beautiful language in the song, which is Bein Adam Ma'arche Lev, a person gives over his heart. It's our duty to pour out our heart. Umei Hashem Ma'ani Lashen. And Hashem provides the language for whatever we're feeling. Meaning we have these feelings that are ineffable. We don't have the graspability, the capability, the kalim, the vessels to actually convey it. Okay, but we have the words of Tefillah that do it for us. We have the words of David HaMelech that do it for us. And Tehillim, whether or not we say it Bekacho, whether or not we say it in the Shul, whether or not we say it Birkia Uzo, whether or not we say it in these high fortresses up above in the divine heavens, in these celestial places, whether or not we do it through the trumpet, through the drum, through the sax, through the flute, through the lyre, through the timbrel, through dancing, whatever other instruments we say, we all have the ability to praise Hashem. Hashem gives us the ability to attest to His greatness. We could praise Hashem in every single way, through every single instrument, through every single form of being. Because every single form of existence expresses Hashem's greatness. There's a certain universal symphony of worship that the Tehillim ends off with, by ending off with Kol Neshama, that every single soul or every single breath praises Hashem. every single thing comes together and joins in praising Hashem. So it's like a beautiful way to end off Tehillim. Thank God that Tehillim 151, we found out, is pseudepigrapha. It's apocrypha. It's not the ending to Tehillim, because this is such a beautiful way to end off a book of praise, that everything is praising Hashem, that every act we take, every step we take, every breath we take, every cake we bake, if we bake a cake, every lake we sail, everything is praising Hashem. So that's that. That's Tehillim 150.
Yeah. Beautiful. Can I ask one thought?
Please.
I'm a musician.
Oh.
Thank you. I mean, yeah. And all the instruments that are mentioned, they each elicit a different emotion. So all of them together is like you're really expressing all the emotions in one platter.
I love that. Yeah, that's the one. It's a symphony. It's like you have the conductor. The conductor is David HaMelech. Like, he is this master conductor. Like, that's why it says so many times, L'Amartzeach Mizmor LaDavid, to the chief conductor, David. And he is allowing all these instruments to come together and create this beautiful composition, this beautiful symphony of praising Hashem. And everything is included. There's not one thing that exists in the earth which doesn't speak of Hashem's greatness. I love that. That's like the flower, like the budding of the rose, everything.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Was that the Yishai Rebo tune? Which tune are you talking about?
Yeah, the Yishai Rebo. It's not by Yishai Rebo. I don't think it's by him.
Oh, but, I don't know. But I know the way he sings it.
I thought everybody knew it. I thought it was like the most obvious tune to do for Kedusha. I thought I was going to get the Hever banging and like nobody did it. It was just me. I was like, what? Like, I don't know. So I haven't done it again. But I feel like I I'll try it again. Whatever. And I did it elsewhere and everybody did it.
Oh.
So I thought it was a Murray Hill thing.
Maybe part of your class next time. First, you have to do a class and teach the song.
You don't want me teaching singing. I stick to what I'm. I know what I'm good at. That's like Einstein said. You don't judge a goldfish by its ability to climb a tree. Meaning, a goldfish, you judge by its ability to do whatever goldfish are good at doing, but not other stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
This is very uplifting tonight.
I think the content of this Tehillim is it's only positive Torah. It's just it's all good stuff. Some Tehillim is very sad. Like Rabbi Nachman's top 10, this is one of his top 10, it's happy. Other things from his top 10 are about him asking for tshuva, and it's about very sad things. Like it says palatzes to saiviveni, that terror, horror, and death envelops me. So that's not a geshmak Tehillim, but I think the uplifting ones, and there's plenty of them, Tehillim is Tehillah, it's praise. So this is one of them. And you got to end off on a good note. That's the Gemara says, Psachim, Masl Rubinus, and Messiah B'Shevach. You start off ichi, but you always end on a good note. Always end with praise. That's the verse in Kala says, Tova Chariz Dovah Mereshisa. Better is the ending than the beginning of something. You always want to end off on a positive note. So that's this Tehillim.